Now, where was I? Some churches have virtually outlawed the Holy Spirit to enter in and do anything unusual, saying that those things ended with the apostles. Anything that happens today is not of God. And I think that's very dangerous ground to be on, because when Jesus taught about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was to attribute to the devil the work of God. So we need to be extremely careful when we judge other churches or judge ourselves that we don't inadvertently call the work of God the work of the enemy. We want to be very careful about that. But we live in a dangerous age, and I understand that. I understand why churches would prohibit certain things because of the abuses and misuses of gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important for us to go to the Word and be taught from the Lord and ask Him to give us understanding. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the foundational text for teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul is addressing the Corinthian church where everything was haywire, including the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're fortunate, we're blessed that that church had some problems that they had to address because it affects us today. And so we have a more extended teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be reading chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, and then jumping down to verses 27 through the end of the chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols wherever you were led. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation, or the Greek word is the flashings of the Holy Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But one of the same Spirit works in all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And then to the end of the chapter, verse 27. And now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. I want you to underline that. Gifts of healings. It does not say singular. He says plural. Gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And that excellent way is chapter 13, the love chapter, that make love our goal in all of this. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that we can get together in Jesus' name tonight. And though we're few in number, Lord, we're eager in heart to hear what Your Holy Spirit would teach us, how You would instruct us and encourage us in Your Word. And we pray for that illumination that comes from You. First of all, for me, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart might be acceptable to You. And then, Lord, for everyone that hears, both here in this building and those that would hear later by tape, I pray that their ears would be open to hear what You say, to listen to Your voice, not to mine. I pray that You would instruct us so that we might be better in our faith and our understanding of healing. In Jesus' name, amen. As I begin this evening, I want to ask you for prayer. If you can notice, my head seems stuffed up, and that's from that flu that I had. It hasn't gone away. And as I was talking to someone this morning, I was reminded, I want that to be gone by the time I go to Cambodia. I don't need any allergies. I don't need any sinus infection cropping up at that time. So as we talk of gifts of healing, maybe you have one. Whatever. God answers prayer. So you pray for me that God will clear this up completely and that by next week, at least by next Wednesday, we'll be all clear to go. We're looking at the gifts of healings. Show of hands, how many of you have the gift of healing or think that you have the gift of healing? Not to be ashamed. Okay? It's interesting that I think most of us don't discern what are the gifts that we have. We would like some, and we kind of flirt with a few, but we're not quite sure, and we're rather timid to grab hold of a gift and say, God has gifted me in that area. It is not to be prideful to say that God has gifted me in that area. If God has used you in praying for sick people and has given you a measure of faith to believe God and you have seen results, then you probably have a gift of healing. Not the gift of healing, because there is no gift of healing. Now, I say that because we are living in a day and age in which healers or faith healers or psychic healers or every other kind of healer are pronounced on television and radio as great and mighty men of God. I think we need to be extremely careful of that. Because in the early church, the only ones that had that attitude toward the gift of the Spirit were those that came out of Spiritism and witchcraft. And they thwarted the work of God. They wanted to appear themselves to be mighty men of God. In the gift of healing, it is required, first of all, that it be a gift given by the Holy Spirit, and that gift is accompanied by humility. Anyone that I've ever met that has a gift of healing has an extreme amount of humility, understanding that that is not their gift to use as they will. It is the gift of God that God gives, and they don't even know when He's going to give it and when He's going to exercise it. Now, that's contrary to some teaching. One of my favorite teachers is John MacArthur. John MacArthur has some wonderful teachings in the Word, but when it comes to miraculous gifts, I differ with him because he says that faith healers or people that have the gift of healing, as in the New Testament, can heal people on demand. That's not true. Even Jesus did not heal people on demand every time, everywhere. Remember, He was in His own town of Nazareth, and He was going to begin His ministry. He started, and the Scripture said He could only lay His hands on a few sick and feeble people, and they were healed. And Jesus walked away marveling at their unbelief. You see, the power of healing is not just in the one who has the gift, but it's also in the recipients. We can hinder the Spirit of God by our unbelief. Jesus marveled that Nazareth, the city that He came from, could have such hardness of heart that they do not believe God. I want to give you three warnings to begin in this introduction about healing. Beware, first of all, of psychic healing. Psychic healing is not biblical healing. It is not the gift of healing. Well, what do you mean by psychic healing? There's a lot of healing that's out there today that professes to be a gift of God, but it's nothing more than psychic healing clothed in spiritual garments. I have a book in my office, and I debated whether I'd bring it and show you, and I decided not to because I don't want to enamor anybody with psychic stuff. But it's a book written by some godly people that have diligently researched healing in America and around the world today. And they have found in interviews with many of those that are called Christian healers that these people attribute their power to some psychic energy that came into them. Some spiritual dynamic that was given to them through some mysterious means other than the Holy Spirit prior to their conversion. They continue to operate these things, and they give it biblical names. They give it spiritual attributes, and they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what they are doing is not the Spirit of God. It is the spirit of man, or the spirit of the psychology of man, the spirit of mind manipulation, of power of suggestion, and in some cases, the spirit of demons that are activating these things. I want to give some stern warnings here, and sometime later in the future, I'll do a whole series on healing and expound this further. But we need to be careful as a people of God. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was every kind of sin and distortion of truth. We are living in an age called the New Age, which is nothing but the Old Age, in which people attributed to God those powers that were from Satan's kingdom. We need to be aware of the fact that anything that comes from the Eastern religions is not to be adapted into Christianity. Those Eastern religions that practice some of these occult practices, which now some of our medical professionals, no offense to anyone present, but some of our medical professionals have said, this works. I don't know why, but it works. And if it works, it's got to be good. And so we get into using some of these things. And I know there are folks in our church that have been reported to me that are using some of these psychic or Eastern religion type forms of healing. We need to be careful. God hasn't said, if it works, do it. He says, if it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and comes from Him, then it's of God. But if it glorifies another religion or another source of power other than the Lord Himself, it is not of God and not for us to be using. God has given us ample medical supplies. He has given us medicines from herbs and all other types of helps. He has given us synthetic drugs in our day. He has given us medical professionals that understand the body and can manipulate and do things in a rational and reasonable way. There's no reason in the world why we should turn to the occult or psychic healers or those that heal by some magical touch. Let me go into that just a little bit. If anyone would like to give you the impression that they have power in their hand, that is psychic healing. That is not of God. We do not have power in our hands. We do not believe that the Spirit of God dwells within the hand, and whomever I lay my hand on will get well. Be very careful of that. Now, there are a lot of different ramifications of it, but just take that as a warning, and later on we'll get into it in a deeper way. But also watch out for faith healers. Faith healers. Those are people that are Christians. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they confess Jesus is Lord. So we're not condemning them outright as unbelievers. But they have used this idea of the gift of the Holy Spirit and changed it from what it is to become something else. They want to appear before men to have power, and so they exercise this gift as a faith healer. And if you watch television very often, if you watch the Christian station, some of it just makes me cringe. Because it is not, as far as I could see, it is not New Testament theology for a man to stand in a crowd of people and get them worked up with music and have people on the platform to grab those that fall down. And then begin saying, I think somebody here, God's showing me, somebody here has a... And they huckster it just like an auction. Somebody here has a cancer and the Lord wants to heal your cancer. What, does that mean everybody else with all other diseases, God doesn't want to heal them? What is going on in these kinds of realms? This is the realm of faith healing, where the healer himself believes he has the faith. He has the anointing of God to heal you. There may be a few of those that have the power of God and really have a gift from the Lord, but the vast majority fall into a third category, and that is of charlatans. They are using what they call the gift of God for profit. They're writing books about it, they're on television and selling videos about it and becoming wealthy because they're using the Word of God, they're using the gifts of God for profit. We need to be very, very careful. There was a man named Simon Magus who pursued after Peter. And when he saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of hands, he went up to Peter. What audacity! Went up to the apostle and said, how much money could I give you that you would give me this gift that whomever I lay hands on would receive the Spirit of God? Peter turned to him and said, you have no part in this. Your heart is not right with God. Get out of here. And church history teaches us that Simon Magus followed Peter, and Peter and Simon had confrontation after confrontation throughout the early period of the church. Now that went on with them, and it went on with a few other people, where whenever you saw anybody merchandising the gift of healing, it was not a healing gift from God, it was from the enemy. Somebody that wanted to buy the power of God and use it for their own ends. So, we need to be careful. But we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't need to say, because there are all these abuses, then I can't really believe there's a gift of healing today. Folks, I believe there's a gift of healing today, not because I have seen it, but because the Word of God says so. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of all ages. He is writing to the church of Corinth, which is in my opinion, far more corrupt than our church. And yet in that carnal lifestyle, he is saying, God has given to every one of you gifts. And some of those gifts, some of you are gifted with the gift of healings or gifts of healing. We need to understand that God's gift don't stop when certain people die. They don't stop at a certain age in the church, but they are effective and continual throughout all ages. So let's look at this gift or gifts of healing as it's declared in the New Testament. The first thing I see in the Scriptures is that healing is prevalent in the Scriptures. Healing is not uncommon with God. Healing actually comes from the Lord. There are always those that would counterfeit the work of God. Remember Moses and the miracles that he did? But there were the sorcerers on the other side that in most cases they could duplicate the miracles that Moses did. But it was God who initiated those things that they were counterfeited. In Exodus chapter 15, we read concerning the healing of the Lord, and the Lord gives himself a name that we are to use as one of his names. Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, "If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, which I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptians." There's a wonderful promise for the people of God. If we are obedient and walk with the Lord in the light of his word, God will not curse us with the diseases of the Egyptians or of the world. But then the next phrase is very important. The Lord says, "For I am the Lord that heals you." That word, "I am the Lord that heals you," is Jehovah Rophi. Jehovah that heals. The Lord wants to introduce himself to his people, and he ascribes to himself this name. He said, "I am the Lord, your healer." God wants every believer to understand and experience the Lord as their healer. I don't mince any words on that. I really believe God wants to heal his people. If the Lord gives himself a name and says, "This is my eternal name, it will never change," then God's attitude toward us is not going to change either. He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." In Psalm 103, David says it this way, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Who? The Lord. "I am the Lord that heals you." I'm thankful a few weeks ago that I had the flu, that flu passed, as it did with all unbelievers, but it passed in me. But as I passed through it, my heart and my mind were calling on the Lord, saying, "Lord, you are my healer. Lord, I need you." And when that flu passes from my body, I give the Lord credit because the Lord has said, "I am the one who heals you." You see, we're in a covenant relationship with God. That means the Lord is your healer. Every one of you, I can come to you and in your face, I can say, "The Lord is your healer. Trust him in that area. He wants to be the healer." The Lord never said, "Moses is your healer." He could have. Because the people of Israel were looking to Moses for the healing. They were looking to Moses for the manna. But always the Lord said, "No, I am the one who heals you." In Jesus' life and ministry, the healing power of the Lord was dependent on the presence of the Lord in a certain place. In Luke 5:17, Luke, the medical professional, Luke, the doctor, said, "And it came to pass on a certain day when Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." You see, the Lord wants to be known as the Lord Jehovah Rophi. "I am the Lord that heals you." And I believe throughout all ages, the Lord wants to be known in his church and through his church to the world as the Lord who heals. His hand is not diminished. His power is not weakened. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to understand that truth, that healing is prevalent in Scripture because the Lord is our healer. The second thing we want to look at is that we ask a question, what is the purpose of the gifts of healing? What is the purpose of the gift of healing? If God is our healer, why can't we just depend on the Lord in prayer? And that's pretty much what John MacArthur does and a lot of denominational churches. They believe in God, that God answers prayer, but they don't believe in the gift of healing. That God doesn't give any man a special gift that he can pray for the sick and they get well.
Well, that sounds logical and that sounds good, but it doesn't change the Scripture. The Scripture says the gifts of healing are for the church, and they are in the church as the Spirit has chosen. And so we need to deal with the issue, why? What is the purpose of the gifts of healing? As I look at the Scripture, I come to an understanding. Number one, in my mind and heart, is that God does not heal us to make us feel good. God does not heal us to make us feel good. God heals us and we feel good, but that's not His purpose. If God heals His people to make them feel good, then He is insulting those He has allowed to go through great trial and to die in their diseases. God is not about the business of just giving us highs or getting us out of trouble. Disease and affliction come to all men, and we need to understand that. There are times when we have to go through it. And so we go through it, and we come out the other side. The purpose of God in healing is not to keep us from all pain and affliction. Affliction has a good purpose in God's economy and what God is doing in our lives. If we had no affliction, we probably wouldn't call on the Lord. And David said that. I was afflicted, and I cried to you, and you delivered me. That's how we understand that God's our healer. If you're never sick to call on Him, you'll never experience the healing power. You'll never experience Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah my healer. And God wants you to experience Him that way. But let me point out three things that are important about the purpose of healing. Number one, the purpose in healing, as I have examined the Scriptures and as I understand it, is first of all, God heals to exalt Jesus. He does not heal us to make us feel good. His purpose is deeper and longer and more long-standing than that. He heals to exalt Jesus. This morning we had a few people at the altar for anointing for healing. And my heart goes out to them. I want them to feel better. I want them to be healed, to feel good. But God's purpose goes deeper than Dick's purpose. God wants to heal them to glorify Jesus. You see, in every case where Jesus healed through His servants, the apostles and the prophets and those that were in the New Testament that had the gift of healing, Jesus was lifted up. As a matter of fact, most of the times where you encounter healing, it was where one of those missionaries or apostles or preachers were entering into new territory and declaring the name of Jesus for the first time. And it was the healing that pointed to Jesus and pointed at Him as real and alive and powerful and life-changing. And so we need to understand that as a basic principle of this gift of healing, when God gifts an individual with the gift of healing, my friend, it's not for you just to bless the church with it. It's for, first of all, to exalt the name of Jesus. And if you hear any healer, under whatever label he might have, healing people and not exalting the name of Jesus, then you need to turn the TV off, you need to walk out of the room, you need to get out of that place, because where Jesus is not glorified, He is not pleased. I remember a few years ago, I heard one of these, I'll call him a faith healer. He was on TV and he was healing somebody, and one of those poor folk came forward, and they were being prayed for, and he prayed for them, and they got zapped with something, and they were saying that they were healed, and he says, "Well, who did it for you?" And they said, "You did! You did!" And he didn't correct them. He did not correct them. And I think that's a shame. That's a sin. For Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Anything that happens that is of God's power ought to always shine back on Him. The servant ought to step out of the way and let Jesus be seen. That is the purpose of healing, that Jesus could be lifted up. And Jesus promised, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. My friends, my prayer is that God would heal the folk that came forward this morning in a marvelous way. But it doesn't end there. God doesn't heal them just to make them feel better. He heals them to glorify the name of Jesus. Therefore, every time you are healed or I am healed by the Lord in a miraculous touch, we need to stand up and say so. Too often we get our healings in secret from the Lord and we keep it to ourselves. And we shouldn't do that, for it is the Lord and for His purpose that we were healed, that we might glorify the name of Jesus. I was listening to some testimonies the other day, and I was talking with one of the members of our congregation, and we were sharing, and it was like the road to Emmaus. We were just, our hearts burning within us. And I said to him, and he said to me, "Why don't we have more testimonies like this in church?" And I said, "Indeed, why not? Have you shared this with the Sunday school class?" "No." "Why not?" It's a good question. When the Lord does something good for us, whether it's healing or an answer to prayer or some miraculous intervention, we ought to be giving God glory. I hope you were as thrilled as I was with the reports from our missionaries this morning that I shared with you. Those are fresh off the field. These are not old-time stories. These are things that God is doing today. And I commend those missionaries for writing it down and sending it out and saying, "People of God, look to Jesus. Look what Jesus is doing." None of them said, "Look what I'm doing." They said, "Look at Him." And that's what ought to happen with healing. Whoever God uses to minister that healing, it ought to point to Jesus and glorify Him. The second thing, God heals the open hearts of men. It seems to be a primary lesson that God has for the church. That when God is healing in the church, it is to glorify Jesus and draw men to Him, as we already stated. He opens the heart of men by astounding them with the power of God. We should be delighted to get on our knees and begin to pray that God would pour out His Spirit in a special way on our church. And God would move in such a way to anoint us with healings and deliverances and whatever else is miraculous. Because when those things happen, the world's eyes open up. Do you know what would happen in this church if the gift of healing really were exercised with those that have the gift and not just to the body? People would be healed and the sinners would walk out of here healed and they would go praising God. And they would tell other people and pretty soon other people would come and some of us would be party poopers and say, "Well, they're only coming for the miracles." Jesus said, "I don't care how they're coming. They're coming." You see, Jesus wants to bring men to Himself. And one of His primary ministries was binding up the brokenhearted and bringing healing to the body to glorify the name of His Father and bring men to Himself. Keep that in focus whenever there's healing. Jesus wants to draw men to Himself. The third one is that God heals you to raise you up to serve Him. I like the doctrines of the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance as he explained the doctrine of healing. One of the things that he would consistently do with people that came forward for healing, he even had homes that he had set aside, somebody donated a home, where you could go and you could pray for a week or two and seek the Lord for healing in your body. You weren't seeking to A.B. Simpson, you were seeking to the Lord. And he encouraged people to do that. But as he dealt with people at an altar of prayer for healing, one of the first questions he asked is, "What are you going to do with your healing when you get it? If you're lame, what are you going to do now that you can walk? How are you going to serve the Lord? How are you going to glorify Him with His healing? If you're stuttering and stammering in speech and you want God to touch your tongue, how are you going to glorify Him with your tongue? If you're invalid that you can't go to the mission field and God heals you, are you going to go to the mission field?" You see, all these questions are really important because they're bottom line of healing. Why does God heal? He doesn't heal to make us feel good, but to exalt the name of Jesus, to draw men to Christ, and to use us in His service. My prayer is, "Lord, when I'm done, I'm done. When my usefulness is done, don't heal me anymore. Because I don't want to walk around as a useless human being or a useless Christian. I want to be used of God, and I do want to burn out for Him." And that's what God has for His people. Every one of us ought to be so actively serving God. When we get sick, we can call on Him and say, "Lord, we can't serve You sick. We need You to touch us that we might glorify Your name." Oh, I get zealous for the Lord. I get jealous for Him when people get healed and keep it to themselves or get healed and just sit still and do nothing with the healing. I'll tell you a story that wasn't in my notes. I was in Clymer, Pennsylvania. Our daughter had asthma and she was going through a lot of trouble with that. And we prayed with her consistently. Every night we'd go to bed and we'd kneel down and we'd pray. And we'd remind Amy that she should pray for her asthma. And one night we knelt down and we prayed for Amy's asthma. And Amy didn't pray. And when I looked up to remind her again to pray, she was crying. Tears were just coming down her face. And I said, "What's the matter, hon?"
She said, Daddy, Jesus isn't going to heal me. I've asked so many times. And you know, that broke my heart. And I went to my closet of prayer and I cried out to God, oh God, here's a little child with faith saying, Lord, heal me, and you haven't done it yet. I don't understand that. I still don't understand that. Within the week, I was called to a home in the church. A man who was, I would call him backslidden from the Lord, whom I had visited over and over again, never came to church because they were mad at somebody. I got a call from his wife, and she said, oh, Pastor, please come over. My husband has had a stroke, and he's paralyzed from his neck down. We're about to call the doctors and the paramedics, but we wanted to call you first. The Lord seems to be saying, call the pastor, call the pastor, call the pastor. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I don't have anything I can do for them. I mean, I can't even pray for my daughter, and she gets healed. But I went anyway. And on the way over, the Lord said, I have a word for you to speak to them. And that word was the word of correction about the not attending the church and separating themselves from the body of Christ and disobeying the Lord in that area. God said, that's more important than praying for them for healing. So I was amazed. I walked in and there's a man paralyzed, could not move. And he's just saying, oh God, what's going to happen to me? And I came up to him and I was about to pray and he said, Pastor, I'm laying here. And the Lord said, Pastor Dick has a word for you. And I said, oh, boy, because I was really debating, was this word from the Lord or am I just mad at this guy? And he opened the door and he said, Pastor, the Lord says you have a word for me. And I said, indeed I do. On the way over, the Lord said, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, but so much the more as you see the day of approaching. And you have disobeyed that. And God is not pleased with this. And he calls on you to repent. And he repented and wept and sobbed about his own sinfulness. And ask God's forgiveness. And he and his wife. And so he said, Pastor, now you can pray. Now you can pray for me. Now you put that in context. Here I was praying for my daughter. She doesn't get well. I pray for a man that's not walking with God who doesn't deserve to be healed, in my opinion. I wouldn't have healed it. And I lean down and I anoint him with oil and I pray for him in the name of the Lord. And I finish my prayer and he jerks. He says, oh, Lord. He says, there's tingling all through my body. And suddenly, he had strength in his body. He was able to get up, walk around the room, move all of his arms. And he's singing hallelujah and praise the Lord and glory to God. There's a man not walking with the Lord that the Lord in his miraculous power healed. Now, do I have the gift of healing? No, not really. But in that case, yes, I did. God used me as an instrument to pray for somebody for healing. That's the gift of healing. It's one of the gifts of healing. Now, I don't go around with a banner above the church saying, the faith healer, Pastor Dick LaFountain. Because that's not the nature of the gift. Now, let me finish that story. This man and his wife came out to church one Sunday after that. One Sunday. And they saw the family they were angry at and left and never came back. But he remained healed. In spite of that. I don't understand that. We don't understand everything about healing. But we need to understand that Jesus is about glorifying His name. And I know I've told that story over and over again. And it glorifies the name of Jesus to know that Jesus still works today. Even with people that are wayward and disobedient and stubborn. When they repent, God is able. And God can do it. And I know if God can do it for him, he will do it for you if it's according to his sovereign plan and purpose. It wasn't according to his plan to heal my daughter. It was his plan to take her home to heaven. And he did so. So we don't argue with God. And anybody with the gift of faith cannot wrestle God into doing what they want. We're simply servants listening to him and doing what he says. John and Peter were walking at the hour of prayer and they come to the temple. And they weren't even expecting it. They were just seeking the Lord. And there at the gate of the temple was a man that was paralyzed. And they had probably seen him hundreds of thousands of times. And this time the Lord says, I want you to speak to him. Now if the Lord tells you, I want you to pray for somebody and speak to them, are you going to do it? Peter wasn't used to doing this stuff. It was brand new. And he looked up at the man, or looked down at the man. The man looked up and said, got some money for me? And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, man, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Boom, the man rose up and walked. And wow, what a stir that created in the temple. Man, here was an undeniable proof of Jesus Christ and His resurrection power. And by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man walks. And Peter was careful to give glory to Jesus and helping the man to give glory to Jesus and not to men. We need to learn that lesson. We need to learn the lesson that God heals us to send us into His service. I'll save the rest of that for another message, but there's a lot more we can say about not serving Jesus. There are times when we don't understand the Scriptures. And one of the things I don't understand is why some people get healed and some people don't. But I have good company. The Apostle Paul left not less than 5 people written in Scripture that were left by him as sick. I take comfort in that. I take comfort in the fact that Paul, even though he had a gift, one of the gifts of healing, it wasn't for healing everybody everywhere all the time. It was as the Spirit of God moved upon him, as the Spirit of God said to him, "Speak to that man, touch that man, pray for that man." He did so, and the Lord did it. There were hundreds that he prayed for that didn't happen, but he was obedient to listen to the Lord, and when the Lord did it, the Lord was glorified. Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 was left by the Apostle Paul at the state of death. Now here's Paul. Why couldn't he raise him up? Well, I don't know. Because the gift of healing is not name it and claim it. The gift of healing is the Lord working through somebody and ordering him to do it according to the word of the Lord. And Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul says, "Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus." And I'd like to slap him up the side of the head and say, "Paul, why'd you leave him there sick? You got the gift. You're Pentecostal." But Paul said, "Nah, you don't understand the gift." No, the gift is not just name it and claim it and wherever. Somebody with a gift has to be moved by God. God doesn't have a healing for everybody everywhere all the time. Learn that and learn it well. And then there's Timothy. Timothy, he's advising him as a young pastor. A young pastor. And he says, "Timothy, I want you to take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your oft infirmities." I'm glad he said that. Because there's a lot of young pastors and a lot of old pastors that are constantly under the attack of the enemy physically. And the Lord doesn't stand back and say, "Shame, shame, shame, you got the gift of healing, you should never be sick." The Lord's intention for healing is not that you'll never get sick, but that He'll glorify Himself when the Holy Spirit moves to heal somebody. Paul could have said to Timothy, "Shame on you that you're sick. You should call for the elders and have them pray over you, and you should get well." But he didn't. He simply said, "Take a little wine for your stomach." Now, don't exaggerate on that. It means like take a little NyQuil for your stomach and your oft infirmities. And so he was offering him some medication. Paul himself was left sick. And Paul said, "I sought the Lord 3 times that this thorn in my flesh," he was calling it a thorn in his flesh, not a thorn in his spirit, a thorn in his flesh, something that wasn't right about his body. And I can't imagine what it would be. He was left for dead having been stoned. Why wouldn't he have a few aches and pains? In the Scripture, we read that the Apostle Paul said, "Look how big the letters I have written to you." He's not talking about the length of the letter. He's talking about the big letters that he wrote by his hand because his eyesight was going bad and he didn't heal himself. He wasn't able to trust the Lord and the Lord didn't have healing. And he said, "This is the reason. God revealed to me the reason so that I would be humble and realize that I don't have all power. It's Jesus that has all power." But God always heals us that we can serve Him. The third and last thing, how does one get the gift of healing? How does one get the gift of healing? If you're here tonight and you're saying, "Man, I wish I had the gift of healing," then I want you to do a personal evaluation first. Why do you want to have the gift of healing? How would you use this gift to glorify the Lord? And what is God going to do through it to win souls and bring glory to Jesus? If you can answer those questions according to the Scriptures and have humility in your heart, then you may ask. But if not, don't ask. Because you'll use it for yourself and you will abuse it to your shame and to the shame of others. First thing I would note about how one gets a gift for healing is that no one can buy, barter, negotiate,
coerce God into giving you any of the particular gifts. Paul says God gives them as He wills, but He gives you permission to ask. That's number two. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. But number two, God allows us to ask Him for gifts. If you want the gift of discernment, He says you can ask. He's not going to hit you for that. You can ask. He may not give it. He may give it. If you want the gift of healing, you can ask. If you want the gift of being a pastor, you can ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. He said, desire earnestly. And those are the strongest words He could use that were emotional words. He said, earnestly burn your zeal. Let it burn up for this. Be zealous of good works. Be zealous of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Be on fire for the Lord in this area. So Paul wasn't slapping the hands of the Corinthian church saying, you're too zealous about these things. He said, no, go ahead. Be zealous. Ask the Lord, but ask with the right motives in mind. For the Lord will give it as He purposes in His heart. The third thing I would point out about how one gets the gift of healing is that it seems that the Lord gives a measure of this gift to elders within the church. For in James chapter 5, we have James writing to the church and says, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if you have committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. We need to understand that. And I wish I had the time tonight to go into all that whole idea of being anointed and prayed for. But I believe God gives a measure of the gifts of healing to elders. And here's some of the areas. For elders to effectively pray for the sick at the altar, they need, first of all, a gift of discernment. They need a gift of discernment because not all illnesses are physiological. Some illnesses are spiritual. Now, wouldn't it be a shame if so-and-so comes to the altar and we indiscriminately, without discernment, without seeking the mind of God, simply lay hands on her, lay a hold of a promise of God and say, God, you said so, you got to heal her in Jesus' name, I claim it. And that person's walking in sin and they're having an affair. And you're saying, oh, Lord, do it. And God said, I'm trying to stop them in their tracks. I'm not going to heal them and confirm that they're walking with me. I'm trying to get them to pay attention to the Word. We as elders need to be responsible in that area. Not that we judge each one, but we wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying? I do that as I work with people at the altar. I don't always ask the same questions because it's not God's guidance. But one question that reoccurs, because I learned it from another pastor, and that is to ask this question of everybody that's seeking a healing. Is there any reason why God shouldn't heal you? Is there anything between you and the Savior that hinders Him from doing this? I don't ask everybody that because I don't sense it. But if the Spirit prompts me or if just at that moment I need to ask that question, I ask it. It's not an offense. It's not an accusation. It's a question. And I've had times when people said, yeah, there's something. And they can get it right. That's what James 5 is all about. It's not just praying indiscriminately for healing. It's praying with wisdom. Remember what Paul said about the communion table of the Lord. He said, for this cause, for disrespect of the Lord's table, for having bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness in your spirit, and not discerning the Lord's body, you eat and drink damnation or condemnation to yourself. For this reason, many... What part of that don't we understand? Many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. I had a guy in my church that was sick. He was sick almost unto death. He was in the hospital. And I called for the elders because he came and asked the elders to come and anoint with oil. And I had an elder say, I will not go. And I said, excuse me? And he said, I'm not going to anoint and pray for him. It's a farce. The man is not walking with God. The man is disobedient to his doctor, does not watch his diet. He has diabetes. He eats a dozen donuts two or three times a week. And I'm supposed to pray him out of that situation? I will not. I respect that elder. I still respect him. I learned something from that. He was right. And so I went to Fernley's hospital side with another elder, a little more charismatic than the first elder. Willing to pray about anything, for anybody.
anytime. And I prayed much for Fernley and wisdom from God. And I asked Fernley that question. Fernley, is there anything, any reason why the Lord shouldn't heal you? And Fernley started to cry. He said, Pastor, the Lord's not going to heal me. The Lord showed me that because I've been disobedient to Him. I have diabetes all these years. And then he confessed about eating the donuts and lots of other things, and you wonder why he was obese. And I wept with him as I prayed with him. And Fernley said, no, I'm going to die. The Lord's going to take me home. And within the week, he was gone. Did we as elders pray in faith that God would heal him? No, we asked God's will to be done. We asked God to be the one who is sovereign. And if God willed to forgive and to wipe that out and to give him a new chance, he would. But if not, it's okay to take him home. I think we need to be aware of the fact that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given in measure to elders to exercise wisdom and discernment. And to not just pray for people indiscriminately. Our time's up and I have a whole other point to go. You have it in writing, so I'll just quickly run through it. Point number four is this. What are the gifts of healing? Why does Paul use the plural? What are some of these gifts of healings? Let me run through them just quickly. There is the gift of healing of demonized people. Jesus was involved in that ministry. As a matter of fact, he introduced his ministry with Isaiah 61, saying that that was one of the things he was called to do, to deliver those that were in prison. And Luke 8:26. There is the healing of the mind. God calls it the healing of the lunatic. And that's not supposed to be an embarrassing term, but there are people whose minds go awry. And they are tormented, and they are confused, and the Lord brings healing to them. There is the healing of the bound by Satan's oppression. There was a woman who was 18 years bent over, and when Jesus healed her, he testified, he said, she has been bound by the enemy for 18 years. He didn't say she was bound by arthritis or some other disease. He said she was under the attack of the enemy. She was bound by the enemy. He didn't say she was a sinner, didn't say she was under the occult or anything else. He just said she was bound by the enemy these 18 years, and she should be loosed on the Sabbath day. There are those that are being healed for brokenheartedness. I really believe that God has gifted men and women in His church to give counsel to those that are oppressed of the enemy. Those that are overwhelmed by emotions. We don't heal anybody, but God uses us just like He uses the man with the gift of healing at the altar to give direction and comfort, to bind up the brokenhearted. It's a wonderful gift. It's a gift of healing. There is the gift of healing for bitterness. The gift of healing for bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord speaks of that to the church. He says, concerning the root of bitterness that would spring up to defile you. And he goes on to say, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. He's talking about healing of bitterness. God wants to heal the bitterness in our hearts. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just cleanse us and wash us in some revival movement of God's Spirit, and we would line the altar, we would line the pews, and seek God's forgiveness for the bitterness and the unforgiveness in our hearts. That is a far greater healing than anything in our bodies. Man, I'll stick with this head cold, but I don't want to stick with any bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. I want to be whole spiritually. That's part of the gift of healing. The last one is the gift of healing the land. That is the gift of bringing revival, that God would heal people's land, referring to the church or the body of Christ. God bring revival to a certain place. God has gifted men and women in all of these areas. They are all gifts of healing that He wants to exercise in His church. Do you have the gift of healing? It's not for everybody, but God has that gift. Salted throughout our church, He has planted the seeds that we might be used of God, that Jesus might be glorified and all men be brought to Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. We rejoice in it. We thank You that the Lord Himself is our healer. We don't look to men. We don't look to the body of Christ when we have a problem. but we look to you. Even in the calling of the elders, we're looking to you, not to them. And we seek you, Jehovah Rophi, our healer. And Father, I ask that you would be lifted up more and more, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and exalted as the healer, the one who brings restoration to the body of Christ and to the body of individuals. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.